Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as
James Dean should have been gay in Giant. It's this super old like TCM fucking movie from like the 50s. It has Rock Hudson and James Dean, and they're like mad at each other for the movie. And I'm just thinking it would have been a way more interesting movie had they just like dated or something.
They just pulled an Y Tu Mamá También on there.
Yeah, they should have, with Elizabeth Taylor in the middle. Because, like, come on, talk about iconic people in a movie. Like, the three of them should have just had a throuple, and that's it.
Not everything is a Ryan Murphy Netflix TV series, I guess. Where throuples thrive.
That's the only place.
What up, cabrona?
What's poppin', chingona? Sorry, I apologize in advance. You might hear Booger barking in the background. I heard her barking earlier, so she's a puppy. Forgive me now. But what's good? What's poppin'? What's good with you?
I've been watching a lot of TV. And, well, actually, before this week that I was watching a lot of TV, I was reading a lot. And I fell into a true crime wormhole, if you want to hear about that.
Yeah, I'm down. Let's go. Like, I haven't read books in forever, so this is good for me.
So my roommate let me borrow this book called I'll Be Gone in the Dark by Michelle McNamara, who passed away a few years ago. In fact, the book is about a serial killer, the Golden State Killer, who literally got caught 2 years after she died. Which is crazy because she was, like, working on that book for years and years and years and years before. So it was just, like, the timing, you know?
They actually found the person that she was writing about?
Yeah, after, like, over 40 years of not finding that person. But there's that book is turning into, like, an HBO docuseries that comes out this Sunday on the 28th of June. So I'm excited to watch that.
Does it have the same name as the book?
I think so, yeah. I'll Be Gone in the Dark.
Ooh.
Or fancy. Gone in the Dark?
Gone in the Dark. So it should,
it's based
it should
on
come
a
out.
Line.
Oh. Hmm? It's based out of a line in the book?
A line that the killer allegedly said to one of the victims.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. That's creepy.
It is really creepy. So I did that for like a week. I was literally just like on Reddit threads trying to figure out like what people knew and like what was going on, because there's still so much we don't know about them because they haven't tried him for murder yet. They're
what?
Still, like, in
okay,
pre-trial.
Yeah, this is the American justice system we're talking about. So that's
yeah, it's taking forever because there's so many murders and so many crimes. And now, like, they had scheduled stuff during this time, but because of the Rona, they haven't been able to do anything.
Yeah, the Rona and the way people feel about the American justice system. I mean, detectives, if they do their job right, they sometimes get the right person, but I don't know. I feel
this is the case where they literally caught them by using like DNA testing you know how people send in their saliva and shit.
Yeah,
they used that. To catch him, and it took a minute because it was like a very like non-direct relation, so it took a while.
Damn. So it was like his second cousin nephew
thrice removed. Yeah.
See, this is, I mean, shout out to white people that want to find out which, you know, brand of white they are. Shout out to them, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm Scottish and Irish and like I don't know whatever else they claim to be. Shout out to them, I guess. But I haven't been reading. I've just been like depressed. No.
Mental. Shout out to the quarantine vibes.
Yeah, quarantine vibes, sadness. Sadness, depression, anger, all of those feelings at once. And it's like, I don't know who said it right now that said if you feel good right now, they should probably, you know, you should probably check yourself. There's something probably wrong with you, because like I don't think anyone feels okay right now. So I did watch that one fucking thing that we disagree on.
I don't think we disagree on the whole thing, but I mean, please tell us what you're talking about.
So I recently binge watched Love, Simon because of Rassi. I completely
you
forgot
mean Love,
it was
Victor?
On. Oh, excuse me. Love, Victor. See, that's how, yeah, it's not. didn't feel too much different. But I binge watched Love, Victor because of Rossi, so shout out to him. And also, I think you tweeted about it, and I was like, huh, okay, let me jump into this. There's queer man as the lead, queer Latino man as the lead. So I was like, fuck it, let's see what it's about. And I came away feeling like happy about like one thing and one thing only, and kind of disappointed about the rest of the way the story was. None of the acting was like bad to me. The actors, they acted their ass off. I just think they played it too safe for my taste. Like the whole overall theme was just too safe for me.
Interesting. I thought the show was fine. It wasn't like extraordinary. It definitely wasn't like, it's like a show that would have been fine 10 years ago, because like you said, they play it safe. Yeah. And it's very much like the film where this kid is still figuring it out. This kid is like screwing over a lot of people in the process.
Yeah.
And so it really stayed true to Love, Simon in that way. But to me, I was happy that like it was just another like thing that they threw into like the very small pool of like Latinx families that are portrayed on television. And after watching Baker and the Beauty, which I was kind of obsessed with this queer fat like girl that was in it, I loved that character. Whoa. I thought she was fantastic in Baker and the Beauty. But the family stuff was all very stereotypical and like, oh, we're angry, so we're gonna dance, like, no. And I thought it was kind of awful in that way, and it got canceled right after I watched it. Oh, and then Love, Victor came out right after they canceled it. So I was just kind of like, okay, let's not let this one get canceled. Let's give it a shot, you know? So in that regard, I'm excited about it. I don't think it's necessarily that problematic. I think they're portraying this like family and this kid in a way that is like very true to what a lot of people's stories were or are these days. And, you know, it might not be the most revolutionary thing ever, but at least we have another one, I guess, is the way I'm looking at it.
Yeah, I mean, I hope, I still want there to be like a second season, and I still want them to, I don't know, evolve this character a lot, because there's a lot of growth he needs to be doing. But it was just too, like, you know, and I heard that they were making it for Disney Plus, and that Disney Plus said, fuck that, we're going to put it on Hulu. And it just, in comparison to all the other things we're seeing, you know, like Rami, Pin 15, like there was an incredible article from the AV Club that he got some heat for. I can't remember his name, I apologize, but he's a white guy. he made some really interesting points about how they weren't showing enough about like the intersection between race and poverty and class, and like what does it mean to be all those things. Like, I didn't feel like this character was necessarily any of those things. They said he was poor, but he always had J's. I was confused. I was like, okay, I get it, like some people can afford like J's when they're still poor, but he just didn't, I don't know, it didn't connect to me the way I would like it to. But I realized and I acknowledged that it wasn't for me, because I'm like 30, right? Like, this is for like babies, I hope, and I hope that they get something from this, but I didn't get anything from this.
Yeah, it's absolutely for teenagers, right? Like, it's very soft content.
Yeah.
But like, it's what, like 8 episodes? I felt like I watched it in like 3 hours. It was so quick that I watched it, so it's not like they had that much time to work with. I don't know, I felt like it was over and done before it started. I don't know.
And shout out to the same homophobic father that there always is.
They were like, oh, he's really good at being a homophobic dad, let's just use him again.
Let's use the from same one day at a time. Let's
Victor too is his name.
Yeah, I mean, he's just really believable of being an asshole, kind of like a likable asshole. So shout out to him. I want to see him in everything, not just being a homophobic father. But okay,
I saw him in in SVU, I think. He was a corrupt cop or something.
Ooh, so he's always a bad guy. He's being typecast as, like, the bad Latino dude. Ugh. Oh, man. Trying to think. Just, you know, tropes and propaganda that we're watching. Like, I feel like everything we watch is propaganda. Shout out to Latinos Who Lunch. Everything is propaganda.
Everything sucks. We hate everything, yeah.
Yeah, everything is a goal to reinforce the state, reinforce societal heteronormative bullshit. So, and I've just been trying to cleanse that by watching, like, ironically enough, watching like Turner Classic Movies that enforce all that bullshit. But it's nice to see Elizabeth Taylor be beautiful and be a bad bitch in all these movies. So I'm really just doing a rewatch of Elizabeth Taylor and James Dean right now. So
you're going old school. I've been binge watching this show called Drop Dead Diva.
Mm-hmm.
That lasted like 4 seasons, and it's about a like blonde, skinny, aspiring model who dies and accidentally comes back into like a fat woman's body.
Oh, that's kind of lit though. Yeah.
So the whole thing is starring a fat woman who like is in the inside a skinny woman. So it's like, you know, kind of wants to be a metaphor or whatever. But it's really interesting how quickly and off the bat it tackles like everybody's internalized fat phobia, and you know, in literally, because it's inside of her, like and then they also end up tackling like a bunch of other stuff. It was a very white show because of course it was made in the 2000s. But it's also like quite interesting how much they got right. Like I haven't seen, like, you know, nothing is void of fat phobia these days, so to see one thing that kind of is, and to see something that like tackles, because it's kind of a procedural type of show, like issue of the day, because she's a lawyer. They tackle like corruption in the system, corruption in everything. Ooh, racism, like homophobia, true. Like it's kind of nice, and I don't know how this gem kind of slipped by me and the rest of the world, but Drop Dead Diva, I got a 7-day trial on Stars so I could binge it.
Oh, nice. Yeah. It's on Stars. Okay, I'm gonna have to find it, but it sounds good, because like I was watching Insecure, and even Insecure had some weird like fat phobia in it, and I was like,
at the beginning of the season,
at the beginning, at the end, it was just sprinkled everywhere. Oh yeah, at the end it's there, and I was just like, God. That's not even like, why does that have to be included at all? I'm confused. But I mean, everything is full of propaganda, as they say. Like, you got to be fat phobic if you're not racist, right? And then if you're
shout
not
out to
racist,
Never Have I Ever, yeah.
Oh, damn. I mean, it's always something. But I'm been still playing Animal Crossing and playing with Booger, and I finally went into the office, and I've developed a cough. So everybody, send me good vibes and good juju.
Holy fuck!
My throat's been hurting.
They made you go back.
Yes, dude, I'm in the office and no one's social distancing. They think it's okay. My coworker thinks it's okay to go for walks, and I'm like staying 6 feet away from her, and I'm like, dude, I've developed a cough. You have a baby at home. Like, I told you I'm coughing, like my throat hurts. Like, what part of like I got a sore throat do you not understand? So I'm gonna try to stay away and get tested this weekend for sure. I don't have a choice in that because, like, my mom's old, so, and I still want to see my mom, so. it's been
yeah,
weird.
I know
here,
people
dude.
That are working from home and still manage to catch it, you know, like, this shit is not cute, like.
It's not.
And the minute that you get sick, if they push you back into going to work, they should let you work from home. Like, this is ridiculous.
I mean, I think if I test positive, they can't make me work for at least 2 weeks if I survive it, right? Like. Even though they're the ones that exposed me back out there, because I started feeling it on Monday, the day I got back.
Come on, Greg Abbott's little baby Greg Abbott's like, how you guys are hurting yourselves. Why are you going outside? You open the state.
Bro,
did you know
that you can't even visit the governor's mansion or any like those public places where he's at? That shit's closed. But he's like, oh, no, but you have to go to work. But my shit, no, don't even come near me. Like...
Oh my god,
don't you love fucking like America? It's like so trash, dude. It's garbage can basura now. Yes. I mean, I just keep thinking about like everything. Like, I still am posting. I haven't seen anyone stop posting anything about the Black Lives Matter movement or Black queer trans liberation. Like, I still see it everywhere. And I'm hoping everyone else is still seeing it in their feed, but I think we're all just, like, talking to each other at this point. Like,
it's, like, everybody that has information is giving the information, people that already have the information. It's
yes.
Like, that's where I get kind of tired, where I'm just kind of like, are we just, like,
sharing?
I feel like we're just passing, like, a bottle of tequila around
to each
around
other.
Around.
Yeah, and that's it. Like, no one else is coming by for the bottle, but, I mean... Oh, and today I like spoke out on Twitter about my own like experience dealing with like the prison, the school to prison pipeline. Like, that was intense for me, but like finally did that a little and probably never talked about it again. But
that's important. I think like the more personal and the more like specific you get, the more people aren't gonna just brush it off, right? Because yeah, this is personal, and that's how you really get to people.
That's so true.
And I think that's why this movement has been a little bit different too, because you're at home, you're there right there, and you're forced to listen.
That's true. Like, I had to really think about like the fact that I could have gone to fucking jail because these cops like fucking lied to me, and I signed a statement without any fucking parent there, and I was a minor at the time, so that was pretty scary. Like, I didn't think anything of it. Just like I think about the kids from, you know, when they see us, or like
Central Park Five,
like they got coerced into the same thing in a much more violent way. I was just there, and they just convinced me it was okay to sign this and fill this document out, and it's just not. And it was so fucked up, dude. I didn't think about it till I watched the movie, and I was like, wait a minute, like that happened to me. Wait a minute, like the only reason I didn't go to jail is because of my fucking privilege. Like, I'm fucking a little Latina girl. Had I been a black person, this would have been over for me. I would have had a record. Like, that was a quick felony right there. So I don't know, dude. It gets really serious when you start thinking about it. And maybe I've been blocking it off for myself, but like, we gotta stop blocking it out and I guess start talking about our experiences. And I have a very personal experience with that pipeline and that. So I hope more people can sign the petition to get cops out of public schools. It's really important that you do. Your girl is only here right now because of privilege, and there's a lot of people I know that were smarter than me. They got sent to alternative school. They have records for the rest of their lives, and they didn't have the opportunity to get funding to go to college. That shit got taken away because of their charges. I mean, it was all stupid bullshit. So I just... It didn't work. It didn't help at all. It just fucked up everyone in that building more, and it fucked me up for a lot of time afterwards too. So go fucking sign the petition, get fucking cops out of public schools, guys. We don't need them there. They're fucking liars. They didn't protect me from shit. They instead endangered me more, could have given me a felony when all that shit was illegal. They shouldn't have been doing it in the first place. So I'll get off my soapbox.
No, it's important. Go like read Frederick Dust Twitter if you're on that.
Yeah, but anyways, all
right. I guess let's get into our topics of the day.
Yes, let's do it.
Why don't you go first, since we usually go chronological from release date?
Yes. Okay, so today I will be covering Hollywood. Ryan Murphy, we talk about you more than I would ever like to, but you lucked out.
More than I would have ever imagined,
right? Like, I just
and I realized today why. I'll talk about it a little bit later.
Ooh, okay. Well, I mean, obviously because he's a white man with access to money and producers and financing, so he can make whatever the hell he wants. So yeah, we're going to continue to talk about him because he's in the position that he is. So here we are. But
his work, at least. Not so much him, but his work for sure.
Yes, his work. Not even him, just what he produces. And anyways, Hollywood is a 7-episode limited series on Netflix. Came out this year, very recently. I don't even know when because my quarantine times, it's all the same. but it's a 7-episode limited series show. It's like a work day. I literally binged it on my phone while I worked when it came out. And it's pretty cool. It's a reimagination. Reinvention of the late 1940s in Hollywood. It's supposed to be the golden age of Hollywood. It's about Frank Costello. He is a struggling white dude trying to be an actor. But more importantly, you get to find out about everyone else who's so much more important, and we love them so much, and they're beautiful, but they're also flawed. You're introduced to the cis white male of the show, and I think from there, the entire show evolves, and it's kind of around him, and that's kind of annoying, but shout out to Ryan Murphy. He has really strong openings, so you're kind of just keep watching it, because it has such a great cast. He meets Jeremy Pope, who is a hustler slash screenwriter. He has written this incredible fucking screenplay about Peg, who jumps off. It's about Aunt Whistle. It's this white girl that literally jumps off the Hollywood sign. It's takes the true story of that woman's suicide, and he writes it, and it's a it's imagination, right? This doesn't really happen. You're also going to see another familiar face in there, Darren Criss, who's, I'm shocked, finally getting another role where he gets to play a Filipino person. He gets to actually walk in that. He's a aspiring director for RKO Studios, or actually Ace Studios. RKA is a real one, for Ace Studios. And there's Laura Harrier. She plays Camille Washington. She's a studio actor. She isn't quite made it yet. She is a black woman in 1940-something. So it's not exactly like she's getting all the roles. Not like exactly like she gets to be anything other than the Hattie McDaniel character, the mammy character, the funny one in the background. So you see her struggle. You see Dylan McDermott. He plays a pimp. He plays Ernie West. Holland Taylor, who actually, I really liked what she did in this series. She plays an older woman who's trying to find love again, and she's also a bad bitch. So shout out to Holland Taylor. And you're going to see Jim Parsons. fucking Sheldon.
Oh, my God. It was a, that was a, he did really well as this horrendous person.
He's such an fucking asshole.
He's, and he's in, like, he's an abuser, like, yeah, at the end of the day.
Exactly. And I'll get into that, my problems with that later, but it's definitely just telling you the story of Hollywood. Had they actually included people of color, queer people, black women at the center, which is what we, I've always wanted forever, because duh, that's more interesting. So let's get into Hollywood and the things that, things they did well. The things that they did well is they finally give queer people like a happy story. There's this whole Rock Hudson storyline, him, Rock Hudson falling in love with Jeremy Pope's character Archie Coleman, and that's kind of cool. A white super iconic queer actor from the 1950s, crazy closeted, died from AIDS, and here we get this retelling of his story. Had he been able to be open, had he been able to have a loving relationship openly, and I mean also had he not become famous. There was a weird thing that Ryan Murphy did the Rock Hudson in this series, because he really made him like a himbo, which in real life, Rock Hudson wasn't the best actor, but I don't feel like he was that stupid either. He was just dumb as a rock in this show, and I didn't really appreciate that, because I am a fan of Rock Hudson too. I didn't think he's a terrible actor. I don't think anyone was that good other than like Marlon Brando or like fucking, I don't know, no one was that good of an actor. They acted so strange back then, but that's not why you watched it. Anyways, he gets this storyline to be in love and happy, and I love that. I love to see queer people get some joy. Yes, it's super cheesy. Yes, it's very heteronormative, but at the end of the day, he doesn't die of AIDS alone in the closet. He gets to be alive and be in love with a black man who's amazing. He's a successful, talented, charismatic character. Archie Coleman, I love him. He does, he is a hustler. He is turning tricks. Shout out to him. You know, you make it any way you can in Hollywood. My only thing is that maybe it was a little bit melodramatic the entire time. Anytime Archie, it felt like they're definitely trying to get their point across about, like, you know, being white in Hollywood, being white passing in Hollywood, what it means to be queer and black in Hollywood. And I'm cool with that. All those things are important. It was just maybe the show was maybe dealing with its own white guilt. So, because it kept bringing it up in a way that felt maybe unnatural and forced at times, when I feel like they could have maybe extended this, or I don't know, made it feel more natural. It felt rushed, as do all Ryan Murphy fucking shows are. Like, towards the end, like, that shit just, it, everything just ended a little bit too perfect, a little bit too neat. And Ryan Murphy has a way of ruining his endings and being really strong in the beginning. We've seen this with American Horror Story, all of them. We've seen it with Glee.
Each single season separately.
Yeah. Yes, like, they just suck at the end. I just don't understand. And this is the same thing. It was a really clean cut for me. There was a million stories going on in there. Laura Harrier kind of was supposed to be the lead in this movie, and it didn't feel like she was really acting a lot or even really in the show as much as I would like for them to really be talking about, like, reparations and, you know, Hollywood trying to apologize for itself. for a show that was really trying to rewrite Hollywood and what it means and what it could have done to change the narrative and change America, right? They didn't really actually show anyone except a lot of like cis white males and center the cis white male. Like Frank Costello got a lot more time than I would have liked. David Cornsweet, he didn't
Jack
do a
Costello?
Jack Costello? Yeah, I kept seeing Frank, right? That's a musician. It's just natural for me to say that. I apologize. It's Jack Costello's character, and I don't know. I didn't care about his story at all. But I understood that you needed the, you know, the cis white meat to dangle over for the straight people, straight women to watch. I get it. Do what you gotta do. Get your white views. Darren Criss getting to acknowledge Anime Wong. Like those, well, not Darren Criss, but Ryan Murphy getting to the acknowledge. Yeah. Yes. Raymond Ainslie getting to acknowledge a real life Asian American actress. They got snubbed. Anime Wong, and they actually give her character some time, but not really. To me, if you're gonna do a show about reparations, like, do the show on reparations. Don't do this weird all the people in Hollywood are gonna fix America, right? Like, I don't think that's realistic. I think there's real systemic issues in America that cannot be solved just through art. I think art itself is amazing. I think it can help the culture, move the culture, shift it. But I think in so many ways, there has to be laws. There has to be like a legal protection for Black and brown folk, Asian Americans. Like these things don't just happen because we get representation magically, right? Like we talk about this all the time that we want representation. We need it. Of course we do. We deserve to see ourselves as human, as, you know, alive, other than us dying in every fucking thing like you were going to talk about in your portion of this episode, where we deserve to see ourselves not be a joke or be killed. You know, it's just, it's human. We want that. But to say that this would fix America and change America if Hollywood had done something different in the 40s, that's idealistic and very cartoonish at best. But I do give him props for changing the narratives, having a Black woman be the center, at least in the movie, but not the show. trying to right the wrongs of Anime Wong, Hattie McDaniels being her entire experience Queen in Latifah. Hollywood, Queen Latifah. I mean, at least Queen Latifah got to play a queer person, and Hattie McDaniels was a real-life queer person. The gas station, the Golden Tip, it wasn't called the Golden Tip, also a real-life thing where the queer closeted Hollywood would go and find themselves someone to also be queer with. I mean, the show is doing juggling maybe too much, and again, it has the same problem that the L Word does, is that it's trying to appease everyone and trying to get everything right, that it feels rushed, it feels too clean cut. You know, Patti LuPone's character, honestly, I don't care what Patti LuPone does. I love her. She's amazing in anything because she actually can really act her ass off. So her character was great, and also based off a real life theater mogul. The person she's based off of actually brought in a streetcar named Desire. There's just so many things he's taking from real life and he's putting it on the screen. A lot of real queer people. George Cukor, actually queer, actually a director. Just Vivian Leigh, not queer, but, you know, she's in there. Just there, he's taking all these old Hollywood actors that I've been obsessed with for a very long time, and he's showing me, like, these funky depictions of them, you know? I just hated how he depicted Rock Hudson, honestly. Rock Hudson was way more handsome, and he had way more charisma, and this guy was just, no offense to him, he was just there. But there's just too much with this show. But I'm going to go back to the queer thing. There's just, it feels very white, cis, male gazy. And again, anything and everything I watch is propaganda. So I saw this and I thought, okay, great. But this is still propaganda. I just enjoyed it a little bit better because I needed to escape during quarantine. And I'm glad they're not redoing it or doing another season. I'm really glad it's done. I'm only going to give it 3 pan dulces because I really liked that we got to see queer people just be happy and in love, as corny as it was. I like me some hand-holding and some sweet love. I'm, you know, cornball at heart. So, but everything else about the show seemed just way too... Ryan Murphy, which it's Ryan Murphy, so...
There was a lot of it that felt very like true to how Hollywood kind of is, where it's always talking about itself.
Oh God,
That's
yeah.
what people actually are like. So, like, I agree with like the rushing and it being very Ryan Murphy, but a lot of it is literally like that's what they do, right? Like
Oh, you know what?
they talk about who they are. They talk about what they want to be. They talk about what it means if this person gets cast over this person. Like, that's what Hollywood kind of is a lot of the time. So to me, I was kind of like, that's it. Yeah. But it's also like a very fantasy version of it
Yes, it
where
is.
things go right, because
Yeah.
most of the times, all those times where you think that shit's about to go really wrong in this story that they tell,
Flips it.
and like it would have stayed wrong instead of like by some miracle in this show, it goes right a lot of the time. And I think it was, I don't know, I think I had the same feeling as you where I'm like, I needed a little bit of an escape. So when I watched it and I saw, black people winning and queer people winning, and
It's
even though there
nice.
was chaos around him, because that's realistic, right? That they were in that time, there would be chaos if these people actually won Oscars and actually held hands with their same-sex partners at the Oscars.
Tear.
Like,
It's
yeah,
beautiful.
I'm gonna cry, but everybody else is gonna riot. And that was realistic. But we were still winning, I think it was such a fantasy. It was such a fantasy ending. And for the first time in a long time, I didn't hate the ending to a Ryan Murphy show, because it was just so
It was good.
fanservice-y.
It was
It was
good.
fanservice-y for the queers. But yeah, it was interesting. I watched it in a sitting. I think I liked it a little bit more than you did.
Well, no, I'll tell you why I didn't, because there's one thing I didn't touch on, which I thought was really weird to be included. You can go ahead and finish your point. Just go for it.
Yeah, it didn't reflect on Hollywood in a perfect way. There's a lot of ignorance in it. There's a lot of abuse
Oh,
in it.
yeah.
There's just, but what people have to do to get by is not always, it doesn't always look so great. So I don't know. I thought it was realistic. Even the bad parts, some of them were realistic. And then it was also very fantastical. It was on the two ends of a spectrum. And I'll talk about later about Ryan Murphy shows and how they progress, because it used to be
Oh, yeah.
way more problematic. And I think that's what's allowed him to survive, is that he has adapted and he has made things that are not just about Liam Michelle. So,
No,
but go on. Yeah, there is some hard parts in the show to face, and yeah, I mean, it's hard to watch, but some of it is very real in Hollywood.
Yeah, I mean, the Henry Wilson, agent to Rock Hudson, the real life reimagination of him, I guess. In real life, he was a predator. He was like the Harvey Weinstein type back then, and he definitely
The
assaulted
Bryan
and
Singer of today.
oh yeah, the Bryan Singer of today. I saw that fucking thing. Gross. Shout out to Elijah Daniels, right? That's his name.
Elijah Daniel. I mean, they've been calling out Bryan
Years.
Singer
Years.
for decades
Oh
at this
fuck,
point.
decades.
Decades.
See, I
But go
just
on.
and that's who Henry Wilson is. And my thing with that character is that he's supposed to make a whole complete 180 flip. His character is supposed to grow somehow, and we're somehow supposed to I found it strange that Ryan Murphy wanted us to like sympathize with the predator at all. I thought maybe he was dealing with some guilt he doesn't want to talk about, but why else would we be sitting here watching a predator be redeemed? And that's what pissed me off. I hated that part. Maybe I blocked it out, but I really hated the fact that they tried to make it seem like, oh, well, he had a reason. No. The horrible shit he was doing to Rock Hudson, Lana Turner, everybody, like, this is a real life predator, and we're just supposed to sympathize with him. I just didn't agree with that. I didn't think that he would change within the course of this series. Like, that's ridiculous. I'd fuck that. You know, I feel like they really they mishandled the whole Rock Hudson Henry Wilson storyline. Crazy wild. Like, it just
There was one moment where that actor was like not willing to forgive him, that I was like, fuck yeah, don't fucking forgive this asshole, And then the rest of it, I was like, or in hindsight, I guess I look back at it and I'm like, why did they make this dude like not more hated, like not more evil? Like, he was just a casting Jim Parsons as him. He's did really well. He's amazing. A good actor, but at the same time, you already have this pre idea of like, that's Jim Parsons, that's Sheldon. Like, yeah. you make him feel innocent, you know, but he was a full-on predator. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was just upset, and I thought that was really, like, that was just mishandled to people who have been victims of sexual assault. I think that was bullshit, and I feel like the entire series was, like, maybe Ryan Murphy coming to terms with his own privilege, his white privilege, and him realizing, oh, wow, there's so much I have the power to do, and I choose not to, and I had to think about that, like, a month after watching it. I don't know how long ago it came out, but I thought about it recently, where, like, is this him dealing with his own guilt? Like, why else, I mean, you know?
Fucking maybe.
Yeah,
fucking
maybe. I just, and why include Henry Wilson's storyline and act like it was nothing? Like, it was even, like, supposed to be funny at times. Like, he would, you know, had him dancing around all weird. And I was just like, dude, he's a predator. I don't care if he's dancing around all stupid. Like, he's a predator, period. Like, done. So I just feel like there's a lot of weird stuff there, and Ryan Murphy maybe needs to do therapy instead of writing it out and making us watch it. Like, he can leave that one in his diary, you know? He ain't got to tell us about it. If he gets exposed, which I think he's too protected to get exposed, but if he does, I wouldn't be shocked, you know? Just three panduces, the show could have been a lot of other things. I'm glad that it fulfilled every single fantasy that I had, and everybody lived, and everybody got to be good. I love fan service, especially right now, but it was icky. It was icky.
Yeah, for sure.
So what are you getting into today?
Today I'm talking about a Netflix documentary called Disclosure.
Like the band.
And every single time that I hear that name, all I can think about is a Disclosure, the iconic Disclosure and Lord collab from many years ago. That's an amazing song. Lord, come back and save us all. Okay.
She needs to. She's like Frank Ocean for, like, women. Like, she's the other one, right? It's Frank Ocean and Lord. Yeah, like, there's Frank Ocean, the dude,
yes,
and then Lord. That's how they're on opposite sides. But anyway, sorry, continue.
You're good. So this just came out, like, just came out on June 19th, and it was created by Sam Fetter, who I'm not super familiar with, sorry. Basically, this whole documentary is about trans representation on the screen in general, like, across the years, and they have a lot of people in this that are, you know, like, the talking heads. They're a bunch of trans people in the media, or trans, like there's a UCLA researcher, you know, things like that. But a lot of the faces I recognize, and I was really excited about that. So it starts off, which is really funny, because we were just talking about The Birth of a Nation the other day. It starts off kind of talking about D.W. Griffith, Birth of a Nation, and how this person who was very problematic and had problematic films regarding race, but they also intertangled with very problematic uses of, like, transness or, like, gender confusion and things like that. Like, they intertangled those things a lot in these storylines, which just reminds me again how linked all these things are, right? Like, you can't, like you've said quite a bit on our Twitter recently, like, you can't have Black liberation without, like, Black trans women. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's kind of what that really nails in when you watch this. They also move into, in this documentary, which I was excited about because I've been, you know, I'm a horror fan. I love horror film. They start getting into a bunch of horror film, and especially in the 80s. I think the 80s is the ones that the films that I've seen where they've really hammered in on transness being the source of all evil. Like, Sleepaway Camp, yeah, I traumatized you with that. I actually just watched Silence of the Lambs. Ooh. And the iconic Jodie Foster, lesbian goddess, her character is, like, at one point she's talking to Hannibal, and she's telling him, like, you know, trans people, she's not using the correct terms, of course, because it's the 80s, but she's saying, like, trans people aren't dangerous, you know, like, they're not known for that, like, that's not what they do. And the psychopath Hannibal is, like, insisting, like, oh, this killer that you're looking for, they're just confused, they're not actually a trans person, like, they're just blah blah blah. But that was just kind of, like, like a fucking facade that came down super quickly. This film is still transphobic.
Oh, of course.
You know? Yeah. So it's just, it was so interesting to see it like just so recently and then watch this documentary in which people are talking about having seen it for the first time in the 80s and having seen other, like a ton, especially in the 80s, films about like villains who are end up being trans or like not officially gonna be, they're not gonna come out right and be like, these are my pronouns. Like, they're not gonna do that.
Not
they're
in
gonna
the 80s.
Just, they're evil. Mm. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, in this these films, the message that ultimately comes through, even like despite all this like workarounds that they have in the dialogue, is that like gender and like any confusion regarding gender, anything that's not cis, is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And like that really affected everyone from Birth of a Nation to the 80s where there's horror film to freaking 2000s watching How I Met Your Mother and then making jokes about like, oh no, what if she turns out to be a man, like horrible shit like that. Like, this stuff has not died down with the times, it's just changed form. But they also call out it's so funny, we're just talking about the L word. They call about call out the horrendous trans representation in the L word. And yes, queers, we get it wrong a lot, like way too often. We fuck it up. I mean, look at Ryan Murphy, look at fucking everybody, really, especially the L word with the character Max.
Oh, God.
Who people were really excited because trans men aren't on screen very much, right? Like, trans women have been the target of abuse a lot of the times when it came to representation on screen. But Max was like the first trans man to have a regular reoccurring role on a major television show, and look at where that went. It went, it was still like, it was used as a tool by cis women,
cis white women,
like cis, yeah, and like to like talk about the attack on women, the attack on femininity, very J.K. Rowling type of shit.
Yeah,
and like
TERFs, they're TERFs.
Yeah, and then like the second that like Max started taking testosterone, it was very problematic the way that they portrayed him, like losing his temper and doing all these things. Like, it was just odd. Like, I don't know. But what, you know, like the new, there's the trans man that's now in the new L word. He was also one of the talking heads that was talking about representation, and he mentioned that Max ended up being such an inspiration for other people to not fuck up again.
So
it was like this like indirect good that character did because people don't want to fuck it up like that anymore.
They're like, oh, that, I'm not gonna be that.
Yeah, like, oh, let's not outdo this like the L word did, you know. Mm-hmm. It became like a thing.
What, wasn't there a Wachowski sister in there?
Yeah, I'll get into that.
Oh, okay.
So the talking heads, like every now and then they'll get into like their very personal like connections to the representation that they saw. They'll even talk about what we kind of do when we interview guests. We'll be like, what's the first time you saw yourself? And they get into that a little bit. And what I thought was really fun, because I think we've done this a couple of times where we're like, oh, I don't know why I identified with that. They would identify with the cis, like in very explicit, like supposed trans representation, they would identify with the cis counterpart. Like, they would be sitting there like identifying with the cis woman who stars, not like the transgender person that they put on there as a problematic villain. And even like Laverne Cox, she's one of the main talking heads, she's like, oh yeah, I ended up identifying with this film called Yentl.
Hey, Yentl.
And Yentl is like, it's like about a Jewish trans man, and I was like, what?
Well, I mean, kind of like, she only becomes trans so she can go to rabbi school, and then this falls in love with her.
I guess I didn't get into it, but like, yeah, it's like a person pretending, like a girl pretending to be a boy so that she or they can be in like
an all-men's rabbi school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? It's the craziest things that we find ourselves represented in. And I've found that before too. Like, I used to identify with like this film about these three white brothers who wanted to do karate.
Oh, wait.
Just because they wore the masks, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do. I love them.
I just wanted to kick ass, you know? It was like and it was just because I didn't want to be girly, you know? I was just a little kid. But anyways.
No, yeah. With Yentl, I have to send you a scene. There's like this really like queer undertone where like she and another girl, like this girl likes Barbara Streisand's character. And she's like dating her, and I mean, any queer person I think can relate, like, because you know, queerness and transness, like, we're in this together. So I'm gonna send it to you.
Yeah, and it should be that way. But then that kind of segues into this other phenomenon that kind of happened, and it just kind of made me realize it today, that cis women kind of use a trans experience to further their agendas, like especially like lesbians. I mean, even look at like fucking Amanda Bynes in that one movie.
She's the man.
To be a boy. So she's the man. You know, it's like it's always been this, or it's shown very frequently in this thing of like, oh, girls can do it too. You know, just cut your hair short, and it's done. And they talk about the problematic portions of this, the reveal. Like the only way that they can prove that they're women is by opening their shirts and showing their boobs. They can't just be like, oh yeah, no, I was just pretending to be a boy. They can't just vocalize that.
They have to sexually assault them and be like, boobs.
They have to sexually like express this thing. So yeah, it's just like it seems so innocent, right? Like, oh, I'm just a girl trying to prove that women can do it all. But at the same time, you're invalidating the entire experience of a trans masculine person. And that's kind of fucked. So let's not fucking do that anymore. this is a really good documentary.
So good.
Yeah. And then there's a lot of actresses that are in, that are talking heads in this, that talk about their experiences playing the usual suspects of like all trans characters that are in procedurals like CSU, SVU, blah blah blah. They're like, I've died on camera like countless times, or we're always cast as sex workers, or when we're somewhat humanized, it's in like Grey's Anatomy type of shows, we always have this mortal illness that's linked with sexual organs for some reason. Like it just happens to be, oh, what a freaking like connection, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I have ovarian like, cancer as a trans man, right? Like
my testes is doing this, like who fucking what?
Exactly.
Testosterone is killing me. Yeah, like dude, what? No.
You lose your hair, but that's because you're a dude now, right? Like
I don't know, it's just like it's a lot. And there's actually this then it gets into like, you know, how that takes a toll on you. And there's a moment where Laverne is talking about the literal, like while she's talking about that representation, it's taking an emotional toll on her in real time. And then she talks about how it takes emotional toll on her to see like negative representation. She was talking about Nip Tuck in particular, which is a Ryan Murphy show.
Yep.
And
yep.
And that show was,
God,
it was very problematic. It was also very like different and ahead of its time, but not in a good way.
No, not in a good way.
It would talk about some, you know, very controversial stuff, but a lot of the times it really fucked it up. I don't know.
It
was coming from a privileged perspective.
Exactly. It took that privilege and like ran with it. Everything that we hate about media now, it was what it was back then. Cis white male in control, sexually assaulting people all the time. I just, ugh, gross.
Oh, yeah. And then they talk about Boys Don't Cry.
Oh, no.
The iconic Hillary Schwenk.
I'm gonna cry.
And I already knew that it was problematic to begin with because it's a cis person playing a trans person, period. But it also made me realize that this film is literally just like a cis person's like tearjerker. You know how we have movies like The Help and like all these other things to make white people feel guilty, and Green Book and shit, that they're like, oh, at least I'm not that racist. Like that's what this is like kind of for cis people, because they're like, this to us is just kind of like, oh, this is like so sad. But to a trans person, that's a literal nightmare. That's a horror film.
Dude. Like, I said that one time on here, I was like, fuck it, there was so much queer pain in that, like, I didn't need to see that. It's just to the extent that they showed those scenes. Like, I didn't need to see the rape. why did they show it to us? And not just one time, right. They showed us all the times. The murder. I didn't need to see that shit to know that a trans person is a human. A person is a person. We don't need to kill this person, period. And, like, I felt like to the extent that they went to show us and felt okay to show us trans pain was fucked. Like, I only watched, like, half of that movie.
It was completely for cis people. Right? It was completely, like, to be like, oh, look at these awful things.
The first half of the movie, like, that's it.
Have some empathy now because mm-hmm. you're not capable of it if you don't see this violence.
Right? Like, that's so...
And then I also... They also talk about how, like... the erasure of black people in that storyline, like, they completely cut out
yes
like a black person from that because intersectionality would be way too much for them to handle, I guess. I don't know. It's trash, and that segues into like the complete whitewashing of queerness and transness in the media and the rejection yeah. of being trans or trans people in the gay community
mm-hmm.
and then honestly like the abuse that they face from the gay community, like, it's ridiculous. Like,
they
gay people, specifically gay men, like, are literally violent because they have this fear of them the same way that straight people are fearing gay people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you should be able to make that connection. You should be able to get it, but they don't. And they are, like, attacked. They even have... You were talking about... I'm guessing you were going to mention Marsha P. Johnson?
Mm-hmm. Our queens. And Sylvia Rivera. And they show them yeah. actually speaking and talking about their experience. And you see as they're getting booed by cis white gays. And they're my least favorite out of all of us. You know, I don't even know if I count them. But the cool ones, you know who you are. The rest of y'all, you don't even listen to this podcast. So anyways.
yeah. Yeah, it was... Oh my God. And then Sera Anzategui gets in it.
Which one? From, oh yeah. From Vida. Sera is in there.
I was so stoked to see them there. And yeah, then they kind of go into a discussion about talk shows and reality TV.
Yo, shout out Mari.
A lot. Yeah. Because that's a lot of the time, the first time that queer and trans people see themselves on screen. And it's so horrible, right? But
yeah,
it's like this spectacle thing. But they show how there is a curiosity, but they get very invasive very fast when it comes to trans people and their bodies. And mainly trans women, of course, because trans men are kind of left out of the conversation. And it's not like this is a thing of the past. I remember when Caitlyn Jenner came out. Like,
that wasn't that it long was a ago. Whole,
it wasn't. It was a few years ago. And I remember going on Facebook and people are talking about anatomy. All of a sudden, they're like experts of like organs. And I don't know how the fuck that happened. But, you know, it's... Not any of their business.
No.
And I love that they have the interview, like a clip of an interview where one of the talking heads in the doc was like, no, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about
yes.
like my what's underneath here. Like, this is not your business, and I want to talk about my modeling. I want to talk about these other things.
That's a bad
and
bitch.
Laverne Cox comes out and is like, thank you, I'm so proud of you for doing that, you know.
She's like, it was with Katie literally Couric.
Sitting backstage. Yeah And then later on they kind of finally talk about the name of the film, Disclosure, and they talk about like there's literally an issue with the people around trans characters in the media, like not the trans characters themselves, but the people that they're connected to or like close to in this whatever show or movie it is. They're the ones who are feeling betrayed because they didn't disclose their private medical history.
What is that?
And then it's packaged as a secret or like a lie, and that reinforces the idea that being trans is bad because it's hidden. And then it reinforces the idea that everyone has to react badly because they're trans. And then it puts a cis person's feelings above a trans person's feelings.
Which is bullshit.
So inherently, this disclosure, like the need to have that, the assumption that someone has to disclose to you these things, is problematic. Like, no one should have to tell you that if they don't want to fucking tell you that.
Yeah, it's not your fucking business.
And that's
business.
Why it's called disclosure. None of their fucking business, yeah.
Dude, my favorite segment, I think, was like when they went over like the Mari Jerry Springer segment. Of where I think I realized that maybe that was the first time I saw like queer people in media. It was like a summer at home while in between, like, I don't know, 7th and 8th grade
waiting for your mom to get home and make dinner.
Yeah, like, you know, Mari came on and then Judge Mathis came on and then, you know, Doce Corazones came on. But, like, I remember specifically watching, like, Mari, and there was always, like, a woman telling her boyfriend, like, oh, and by the way, there's something I have to tell you. And it wasn't the pregnant episodes, or, like, it was just people, trans people that were, like, doing the catwalk in their outfits. And I remember watching that, and I didn't really, like, get it. Like, I was just not, like, anti-trans or anything like that. I just didn't get why, like, people were so mean. Because, like, I was this little baby gay watching this, and I felt connected, you know? I was like, oh, shit, like, damn, like, all these, like, studs or all these trans men, like, I felt connected to, you know? I was just like, damn, like, I wish I could dress like that. Like, I don't want to dress like this. Like, I'd rather dress like that. But I don't want to be, like, a man. That's different, right? But still, like, I felt connected to it, you know, in this weird way. And I thought that was very cool because even though those shows are terrible and they definitely disrespected all the trans people that went on there, like, it was still, I think, one of the first times I saw trans people in media, which is fucked up, but I think that's the first time I saw them.
Yeah, absolutely. It is fucked up. That's the whole point, right?
Yeah, like, it's trash.
Yeah. After that, they kind of get into the problem with cis men playing trans women on screen.
Ah, yeah.
And, like, it's literally so dangerous for, like, a society, especially an ignorant one that probably doesn't have a trans friend or isn't aware of it.
Yeah.
They go and they see a show, like the Oscars or something, and they see, like, a cis dude,
Jared Leto,
step up, and Jared Leto or the one that played the Danish girl go up there and accept an award and be like, you know, oh, thank you so much, I'm this dude with a beard. And then it just reinforces the idea that, like, trans women are just men in good makeup, which is not true.
It's bullshit.
This is not a drag race. Like, this is not that. Like,
no.
These are real women. So, yeah, it's super, super trash how, and I love that they get into the problem with, like, actors need to be more mindful. I'm sorry. They just need to be more mindful of the roles they're taking. I know it's hard and it's a hustle, but don't be a disrespectful little bitch. Like, be better. And then, yeah, they bring in Lily Wachowski, like, towards the end, and that was a choice.
How do you feel?
Considering her and her sister's rumored and very frequently alleged racism. Like, what are you, I guess, I don't know if they feel like they had to because they're prominent members, or, like, maybe it's because their racism hasn't been, like, mainstream enough. I don't know.
Like, oh, whoa. Okay, no, I need to know this because, like, The Matrix is one of my favorite movies of all time, so you need to, like, clue me in so I'm not out here, like, standing incorrectly.
I mean, there's articles and stuff, like, I'll post them probably on the website, but I've seen enough evidence that they've been definitely racist.
Because I haven't seen Sense 8 at all.
As recent as that, not so much as much within the show's content, but in the background of that, you know, like, what happened behind the scenes, there's been enough allegations, trust me, enough.
Ooh,
like,
okay,
that,
damn,
I believe it 100%.
God, no.
So the Wachowskis can suck it for now. Like, it's kind of, I mean, Caitlyn Jenner, right? Like,
oh,
problematic,
yeah, she sucks,
woman. But they even get into that, like, how, yes, Caitlyn Jenner's problematic, has a lot of terrible like opinions, but
I mean, she's
general,
not smart,
like,
so
but she's had an effect on society, and she's changed the conversation because of things that she's done in conversations she's had with other trans women. Like, there has been some positives from it, and so I don't know, I guess that I don't know what they were thinking, or if it's just not mainstream enough or whatever.
Yeah,
the last thing that I'll kind of talk about is how they get into the idea of stealth. And stealth being a lot of trans women throughout the years who never come out as trans women. They just are women, or, like, you know, they just live their lives pretending to be cis, basically.
I mean, which is fine.
Not pretending to be cis, but, like, yeah, it was a survival thing. And there's a lot of actresses who went their whole lives and never said they were trans until this whole recent, like, movement where it's been celebrated for Laverne Cox, for example. And now trans women have come out and been like, yeah, after all, you know. But stealth, which basically just means they passed as cisgender forever and never said anything, like, that was a survival tactic, and people still do it today. And
I'm not mad at it. I think at all. I get it.
I understand. Like, I mean, how many people are out there pretending to be straight whenever they feel unsafe?
Yeah.
Right?
They don't owe that to us, honestly. They really don't.
No.
So
they don't. They don't have to disclose.
Like, no point. Yeah, no one has to disclose. It's not our business.
Yeah, I love that this kind of ends on a positive note, the film. It kind of ends on talking about all these positive things and the way that someone like Ryan Murphy has kind of made a lot of strides. I mean, Pose.
Oh, yeah.
Pose is absolute brilliance.
Pose is amazing.
And Hollywood is not half bad in comparison to something like Nip Tuck. So I guess what they're saying is people are growing. They have even Oprah 20 years ago asking horrendous questions.
Ooh, Oprah.
And now completely changed the tune, you know?
She's problematic all around.
Yeah, that's true. But the point is that they kind of end off saying, like, things have changed a lot. Representation isn't the end of the road. They're, like, things have to happen elsewhere. But, like, things have progressed and people can change. People can be better. And I thought that it was a nice little inspiring touch.
No, it was good. So what would you rate it? How many cafecitos would you give it?
0.1 for the Wachowskis.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a sip of coffee just during that moment.
Like, oh, I'm sipping tea to look at you. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, because, exactly. I mean, just because you're trans doesn't mean you're not going to be racist, right? Like, that's not...
Yeah. Exactly.
No, it does not take away from that. Like, doesn't, I don't care if you're trans. If you're a racist trans person, like Caitlyn Jenner, like, fuck off. Like
you're still gonna catch these hands.
Yeah, you. But yeah, like I really liked it. I didn't know the whole thing about the Wachowski sisters. That I mean, I need to go read the articles because a lot of trans people have said that they felt, outside of them and what their work has done later, that just that, you know, the Matrix had made them feel a little bit more comfortable in their transness, right? So I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
So
it's hard having to, like, reconcile. Like, even in the doc, they talk a lot about having to reconcile things, pieces of media that you loved or that really inspired you or that maybe even, like, sparked something in you that you didn't know was there, that are also probably inherently transphobic, right? Like,
Mari,
same
yeah.
thing in the realm of homophobia and racism. Like, you like a lot of things that are problematic but have parts of it that changed your life, right? Like, it's hard to reconcile those things. That's what Hollywood is. It's a mix of really good things and really bad things.
Yeah, I compare it to my love that I used to have for Kanye. Used to.
You used to.
Yeah, used to. It's done. It's done.
Oh, well. Well, on that note,
yeah,
thanks for listening, guys. It was hard to record again this week, but I think hopefully we'll get into a roll again. Hopefully TV doesn't run out anytime soon.
Yeah,
but we'll see.
We'll see.
If you have any questions or if you want to look up any of the shit that we talked about, we'll post it on our website. And you can DM us or email us or whatever you want at CYC Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. My personal is MYTE Panda, Maite Panda.
I'm Fried Papito on Twitter.
And our email is UICPodcastmail@gmail.com in case you have questions or if you want to call us out or if you need to make a correction. Or, yeah, so don't... I'm not going to, like, push you guys towards any of our stuff. I'm going to instead say... go and continue signing petitions and donating money to, like, mutual aid funds and yep. people that are in need, and keep spreading the word because Black Lives Matter always.
Always.
That doesn't just end. So, bye, guys.
Bye.